A lot of folks talking about public schools, not just in Pittsburgh, but in America. How do you save them? How do you fund them? How do you graduate kids who can't read or write? Massive step here in Pittsburgh is admitting the problem and attacking it. And the man that I admire for his leadership, his ability to tell the truth, and his passion is Dr. Walters, who is the superintendent. Doctor, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning. Thank you for having me again, Marty.
So, the board finally voted to make the cuts. Did they wait too long, sir? Is it too late to fix this problem?
No, I think we deal with the reality of what we have in front of us, which is an opportunity. And so I'm thankful that the board made the decision for us to move forward with the Future Ready Facilities Plan.
It's amazing how you cannot win. The parents scream at you for making the cuts. The city controller screams at you for not making enough cuts. How the hell do you rectify that and meet somewhere in the middle so that everybody's pleased and you can get these schools to perform, sir, and survive?
Well, you know, my philosophy has always been about putting our students first and at the center, because it's about them. It's about them before adults. So we know that there'll be critics. We empathize with those critics. We understand multiple perspectives, but the reality is that we have a challenge in Pittsburgh public schools, not only with our finances, with educational delivery, with opportunities, and with a district that doesn't provide similar experiences for all of its students. And so we have to do something, and to do nothing is irresponsible.
I'm all in. I admire the hell out of you. I think it takes big kahunas, and I think you give a damn every single day, and few do. The African-American parents are saying this discriminates against brown and black children unfairly. Is that fair for them to say, sir?
It's a perspective, but it's not fair, because the African-American students are suffering more in our Pittsburgh public schools than any other demographic. They're the ones with the lower achievement, and so we have to do something. And so to continue to do the same thing for students and not having success with them, I do believe it as well is irresponsible. And so although change is hard and people may be comfortable with what they have, the reality is that those students currently are the most affected, because they endure the most suffering academically in our district.
Man, Doc, I read through the test scores at some of the local districts where the kids are, 80% of the students are at a poverty level, and you have that in 25% of your, in 25 of your schools. How the hell can you get kids who are that poor and in essence come to school hungry to perform, sir? How do you wrap your arms around that, sir?
Well, that's the reality. Is the reality is in our school district, we have to meet our students where they are. And so whether they're food insecure, we have to make sure that we feed them. We have to make sure that we provide the social services for them. We have to make sure that we provide the interventions and the academic support. We have to provide all of those things for our students wherever they come. That is the hope and dream of public education. And that's our reality in a school district like Pittsburgh. And so regardless of how they show up as their best self, we still have to serve them. And so that's why we have to continue our advocacy for appropriate funding. But we have to make these decisions that, yes, may not fix our financial reality immediately, but it does give us an opportunity to address our inefficiencies, our academic programming, our teacher support, and really moving us towards a better school district.
Hey, doctor, I saw some data this morning that said Pittsburgh public schools kids are almost a year and a half and sometimes more than that behind on the average in reading. How do you make up that ground, sir? How do you do that, sir?
We continue focusing on the work because we've made some headway, but it is hard, challenging work when our students do not begin necessarily with the same foundation coming in. And so, you know, we still try to emphasize our early childhood programming, which we have excellent early childhood programming in our district, and making sure that families take advantage of that, because the beginning is so important for students and the foundational work of becoming literate is critical. And so, you know, our early childhood programming, our kindergarten students, our first grade students, our second grade students and our third grade students, which is one of my primary goals, because that is the year where you move from learning to reading to learn. So now it's not about, you know, you sounding and blending and beginning those foundational skills, but now you get into the comprehension, the writing. And so all of those things matter, and foundation is important. And that's why we have to do that emphasis on really kind of creating a strong literacy program, using the research from the science of reading and building capacity in our students, but also supporting our families with what to do to help doing that, you know, to making sure that students are going to the libraries, that they're reading, that, you know, we know that they love video games, but at the same time, we need to get them reading. We need to get them invested. We need to have families to ask questions. And we also need to build our teacher capacity of the best methods to teach reading to students.
Doc, when I hear that you got 10 to 20% of your teachers calling off every day, that's disheartening. What the hell's going on, sir? Why is that happening?
Well, I mean, there's a variety of reasons. I mean, people do get sick. I mean, we do have, you know, flu seasons and everything like that. But at the same time, being a teacher is a challenging job.
Oh, yeah.
And so the more that we can get the support for teachers to really feel good and feel strong and have those supports, I think we'll see significant decline in those things. But, you know, like every other profession, I mean, they're human, so they do get sick. They do have family dynamics that they're taking care of. And so, you know, we have those challenges, just like in every other job market. It's just pronounced when we're serving children that you get to see more of that.
And then what happens, sir, as you know, is that in a district, in a school that has one math teacher, if the math teacher calls in sick for 3 days, they have no math for 3 days. That is not cool, is it, doctor?
It's a challenge. And two, I mean, it's a challenge on the other staff members, especially if you don't get a sub. So if you have one math teacher, that means that all your other teachers are covering those classes, trying to do the best they can and do some form of learning. But it does take a drain and a strain on those other individuals who are supporting children as well.
Dr. Wayne Walters, Superintendent of Pittsburgh Public Schools. Hey, Doc, here's what I always hear. Pittsburgh spends about $33,000 per student. Upper St. Clair spends $18,000. Upper St. Clair kids average 800 points more in their SATs. Is that fair, sir, to make those sorts of comparisons? Is that even close to being fair?
Absolutely not. I mean, if we talk about the starting points, the support structure, the support needed in a city that serves so many children, I mean, just look, first of all, we serve so many more children in our district than others. We're the second largest district in the Commonwealth. Two, the significant needs of our society. Like I said, you know, parents send us their best, but their best come with significant challenges. They come with food insecurity sometimes. You know, we have students who are homeless. We have students who are learning English for the first time. And the number, we have special education students. We have English language learners. We have students coming from economically disadvantaged homes. But they are our children that we love on every day. They're still our children. And so regardless of how they show up, yes, it takes more resources to support all of those challenges. And so I find it unfair, just in sheer numbers alone. If you have more of a particular demographic that you're serving that has significant challenges, you have to invest more. That's just how it works. And so, yeah, I think it's unfair to answer your initial question, but also, you know, acknowledge that, you know, we love our children and we are here to serve our children regardless of how they show up. And if it takes more of an investment, that's what it takes.
I believe we must have public education. And for what it's worth, I think you're amazing. Your commitment to doing this, your love for education and your love for this town are amazing. And we will do, and I will do anything to help you. It makes me sad, quite frankly, when I see kids failing, because we all fail if they fail. Yes, sir? Right?
Absolutely. Our city depends on an educated citizenry, and that's our responsibility. And I hope we always look at it as our responsibility and not just the institution's responsibility, because it takes all of us.
Dr. Walters, all the best to you, sir. I respect and admire the fact that you come on to this show and you never, ever back down. Appreciate you. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate you too, Marty. Have a great weekend.
My man gets it. Whether you like what's happening in those schools, he gets it. And he wants it bad. And that means a lot. hardest job in America, fixing public school system. I'm not dismissing Pittsburgh, saying that all schools have these problems, because that's like you're about to get a divorce and you say, so what? Everybody gets divorced. That doesn't forgive it, but it does help you understand the massive problem faced by educators across this country in reaching a demographic of poor kids that can't be reached. It's just abysmal. And when we look at the numbers, they speak for themselves. When you have thousands of kids who can't read at level, when you have truancy rates in the area of 65, 70%, when you have dropout rates of almost 50%, it's a heavy lift. Heavy lift. And no one seems to be able to find a reasonable solution. No one is having impact. And what happens in Pittsburgh, let's be honest, most of the kids in most of the schools are poor and black. The numbers don't lie. In 25% of the schools that are predominantly African American, 80% of those kids live at or below the poverty level. These are facts. In about 80%, 75 to 80% come from single parent households. Am I making excuses? No. I'm just telling you, man, it's a heavy damn lift. And it is not the teacher's fault. I know a lot of PPS teachers. They're fantastic. They work their butts off. They give a damn. But they're up against the wall. If you're teaching in a class and you're the only math teacher in the school, and the class has 10 kids, and one of the kids is a calculus kind of math kid, and 8 of the kids cannot do anything involving geometry, who do you teach to? You teach to the kids who don't know geometry. That leaves the bright kid standing there, staring at the wall, waiting for a spider. It's an extremely difficult job. It's an extremely costly job. And Dr. Walters is spot on when we complain that Mount Lebanon spends $17,000 a student. Upper St. Clair spends $18,000 a student, roughly. Yet their test scores are insanely higher. It is not a level playing field. PPS deals with insane issues involving kids with physical, mental, social, financial problems, period. They're much larger than districts that perform at the level of Mount Lebanon in Upper St. Clair. It is one of the hardest jobs in America, teaching kids that don't want to learn. The networks pointed out this morning that on average, the kids in the Pittsburgh public schools read at a level almost 2 years behind the kids in suburban schools, Mount Lebanon, Upper St. Clair, North Hills, Fox Chapel. It's frightening. And for those of you who say, where the hell are their parents? I can't fix that for you. But somehow we collectively have to somehow wrap our arms around this, because it's a disaster. Bill, go ahead, brother.
Hey, Marty. You asked one question, which I agree with, because I remember this. When my kids were in school, this was around 2010, they announced that the city school was paying $13,000 and something per student. And I looked up where my kids went, and it was like $6,700. And it's that was in Hampton, all right?
Oh, yeah.
It was the exact same thing, so it hasn't changed. But the problem is, it's not the teachers, it's the parents.
Yes.
Because a friend of mine, his daughter's friend, and this is like 10 years ago, she had been a city school teacher for like 5 years. She still hadn't had a request for a parent-teacher conference in 5 years.
No, it's horrible.
It's the parents.
But my man,
and you
just said something. You said something. Hold on, Bill. You said something profound. 10 years ago, this was the problem. So we have to go into this knowing that's the problem. We have to fix this knowing that is the problem. You know what I'm saying, Bill? It's horrible.
Well, it's the parents.
I know, man, but what are you supposed to do with them?
I don't know.
No, neither do I. No one knows. I don't know. It makes me sad, honestly. As we go to break, breaking news. Allegheny County Sheriff Kevin Krause has filed a lawsuit. This is very unusual. The sheriff is contesting a county council idea that they have as a referendum to impose term limits on all elected positions in the county. Term limits. From what I'm told, and we're looking for the lawsuit right now, but I was told that the lawsuit will declare that belief that these term limits should exist, that that is illegal. And Krause, who I've known for years and I respect and admire, is saying this is illegal, and he's suing. And we have several lawyers looking at it right now, and we will provide more details as they come to us. Wow. A lot going on, folks. I am getting a copy of the lawsuit just filed in the last few minutes by Allegheny County Sheriff Kevin Krause. Krause is suing Allegheny County Council. The lawsuit was just filed. The allegation is that Krause says the referendum that they want to put on the ballot to make put term limits on all county elected offices is illegal. As soon as we get the lawsuit, which we're waiting on right now, it has been filed. We're downloading it right now. Thanks, Patrick. We will let you know. Meantime, I got to play a clip from yesterday, but I want to start this segment by playing off what the superintendent said about the Pittsburgh Public School kids. Part of the issue he has to deal with is managing the violent kids. Several incidents I'm going to point out. In these cases, the public school kids were involved. This week, Alderdice students ran into a movie theater, running up and down the aisle screaming in the movie theater. And the manager of the movie theater said it happens on a regular basis, okay? Issue number two, teenage kids. Play the Sephora clip first, please. Teenage kids nearly beat a woman to death working in the Sephora store, East Liberty area. She hid in the dressing room. They dragged her out and tried to beat her to death with a sign. Listen to this sound from that incident. Crazy.
Can you start to 125 Shady Avenue? This is four others, a group of juveniles fighting inside the store. We'll get you another unit.
Call for station.
1740.
485, I'll also respond to Shady.
485, that's copy. 25, I'm going to pull you from center. Can you start to Shady?
25, copy.
Four units for Sephora. It may also be the Barnes & Noble at this location. Mm. One female's holding a pole trying to hit someone with it, and another juvenile is possibly topless.
Mm.
422, I'm out on Shady. We have another injured female. Bite marks, lacerations to the head.
Confirmed, two injured.
All right, that's that. They tried to beat a woman to death. Teenagers from the Pittsburgh Public School System tried to beat a woman to death with a sign from the Sephora store. And then this, teenagers, they believe from PPS, tried to beat a man to death, beat him unconscious in the middle of the street in broad daylight in front of the Whole Foods store in East Liberty yesterday about 5:30. Listen to this.
Weapons involved.
Copy from his office.
Copy additional updates that the male's bleeding from his head, unconscious.
Yeah.
34, I copy. Is there a detail officer there?
Negative.
Office.
1653.
All right, show me around.
Copy. You're just going to hold food, call her now. Doesn't think the male is breathing.
3585. Show me an area of home or Whole Foods. Is there a description of the actor?
No descriptions.
Black shirt. Black shorts. Took off towards Bomb Boulevard.
Copy, actor, black male in his 20s, black shorts, no shirt, directional flight towards Bomb. Please.
You can add the actor juvenile. He's going to have a white shirt, black head wrap. Push this male.
Copy, additional black juvenile, right. White shirt, black head
wrap. We get it.
To confirm three.
At least five black juveniles tried to beat a man to death. About 5:30 in the afternoon, right in the street in front of the Whole Foods. This is a friggin' nightmare. And all these teenagers should be in school. All of them. And when they're in school, they're worse. JK, Jim Klingensmith, sir, it's the drumbeat of horrifying violence unchecked, JK. You've been at this for decades. Have you ever seen it this bad, sir? Because I haven't.
No, because there's no other side. There's no checks and balances on the other side. So it's all on them right now. It's the criminals. It's the juvenile wave. It's to see how far we can push it. You know, you can't even go sit and watch a movie in peace. You got some goof running up and down the aisle.
True.
So, you know, listening to all this, you know, you constantly hear, okay, so, you know, but right now the schools don't educate them. Parents aren't parenting.
No.
The judges don't enforce crime.
No.
And this is exactly how you create career criminal juvenile machines. Because at what point are they protecting them or helping them? Were they aiding them or guiding them or sending them in the right direction? They are creating juvenile criminal career machines.
Oh,
that's what they're doing.
It's, my man, it has that vibe of the Jamaican gangs that took over cities in the 80s. It has that unchecked drug dealing to the point where the feds had to come in and arrest everyone and send them to federal prison. It has that vibe, doesn't it? Mayhem, unchecked.
Yeah, we're already here because the state attorney general, Dave Sunday, got fed up with the city and the county judicial nightmare over there, not doing their job, not prosecuting crime, not stopping crime. You know, just on one case, overwhelming case, but it had $800,000 worth of accumulated damages, dozens of gun stores robbed, hundreds of guns stolen. about 8 or 9 kids already murdered, okay, and dying on the streets from this crew. And each one of those kids had 14 to 19 prior felony criminal records. Priors.
Hey, JK.
So where's the benefit?
JK, here's what scares the hell out of me. They're 14-year-olds with a 40-year-old criminal mind. That man in East Liberty yesterday, he was unconscious. They had to bring him back to life. They wanted to beat him to death, sir. Teenagers.
Yeah.
What has happened here?
They don't care. They want to see how far they can push it. They can see how, you know, how much they can get away with. They're having fun on the streets at the expense of our citizens, okay? You have a woman almost died, gets tracked into a store, assaulted by numerous juveniles, almost. So you have a lady get hit in a brick downtown in the back of the head just for YouTube and snapshots, okay? Almost died. That's another one. So then you have this guy. He actually died on the scene. They brought him back to life. I heard they had to resuscitate him several times, to, you know what I mean? Now, where is he going to be? So almost. It's a matter of time before one of these innocent victims die.
Hey, JK, what about folks who say, we can't arrest our way out of this? What about that, sir?
Yeah, how about give it a try?
Huh.
You know, everybody knows. It's a proven statistic that, you know, 90% of the crimes are committed by 5 to 7% of the community. It's the same individuals. And the problem is they're bringing in other kids. They're getting bigger. They're getting bolder. They're doing more and more. Because there is no repercussions. The little kids are sitting, you know, watching these kids come in and talk about, oh, we just went and beat this old lady up, robbed her, took her stuff, ha, ha, ha. And the little 12-year-old's like, yeah, I'm going with you tomorrow. Let's go out and have some fun and attack some people. So that's what this is like. They don't care. There is no enforcement. The parents aren't doing it. The schools aren't doing it. The juvenile judicial system aren't doing it. And that's why you hear every single time.
Every day, brother.
Big arrest.
Every day.
Yeah. Every day.
Every single day.
Man. Every single day. And then you get the same comments from the mayor and, you know, the chief, too, because they're like, hey, we did our job. We arrested them. We put them in jail. We did what we can do, because they know the second they hit that gate, they're gone. Mm. Like, they're going in, say, hi, honey. Here's a candy bar. Go ahead, home. You know, like, it's a repetitive, ongoing situation.
And it's sad,
it's
JK.
Never gonna stop.
JK, it's sad. It's sad.
It is. When's it going to stop?
I don't know.
What's it going to take?
I don't know.
You know, here's the thing that really, like, people don't understand. Man. So my body's hammered. My body's busted up. So my use of force criterion is much quicker than somebody else's. I can't fall down. I risk being paralyzed. I can't get punched in the face or assaulted. And I'm not. So when you get a guy like me who's confronted with, you know, a half a dozen kids coming in to assault me inside of 21 feet, we're going to have a real bad problem on our hands, and they're going to come after me, and they're going to blame me or guys like me who are going to defend themselves.
Because of what you're talking about, my good friend Mad Max, who has a concealed carry permit, insane training, because of these confrontations on the streets of downtown, said for the first time in his life, he came very close to shooting 2 people yesterday on the streets of downtown Pittsburgh.
That's sad. So, you know, I sent you that post about Jeff Cooper, what he said. And this is exactly where we're at. And it's this is how upsetting it's become. Colonel Cooper, U.S. Marine Corps. If violent crime is to be curbed, it is only the intended victim who can do it. The felon does not fear the police. He fears neither the judge nor jury. Therefore, he must be taught to fear the victim. And that's where we're at.
Mm. JK.
I trained all weekend at the range with my family to get ready to. You never know.
Wow.
You got to train. Be safe.
JK, thank you, brother. Truth to power.
Yes, sir. Yes,
my
sir.
Man. By the way, I'm holding the Kevin Krause lawsuit. We will get into the details. This is a breaking story suing the county council, sued the Allegheny County Council and County Executive Sarah Namorado, seeking a court order declaring a recently adopted county term limits ordinance invalid. Breaking news. Damn. Got a lot going on. Insane teen violence. Tried to beat a man to death in East Liberty yesterday, 5:30 in the afternoon, right in front of the Whole Foods. Broad daylight, didn't give a damn. Guy stopped breathing. Issue number two, Kevin Kraus. Thanks to Patrick's hustle, we have this. Patrick, summarize this, please. What you're seeing so far, please.
All right, so just got the lawsuit downloaded a moment ago.
Kevin Kraus suing.
Suing Allegheny County Council and County Executive Sarah Inamorato. And the challenge is the three-term limit that council is proposing for elected officials in the county.
He's asking that the court issue a declaratory judgment that Allegheny County Ordinance, blah, 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 setting a three-term limit for the office of sheriff represents an illegal exercise of the county's authority, which is barred by the law of the Commonwealth. The ordinance is illegal on three fronts. So he's taking this on today.
Man. Yes, sir.
Kevin Kraus just filed this. This is big. I know Anthony is here, and I asked him to be. He can comment on both. Number one, this violence in East Liberty has gone beyond anyone's comprehension, hasn't it, sir?
Absolutely. I see it all the time. There was an incident in Whole Foods last week when I was in store. And this was at 3:30, something after 4, where you had a horde, five or six school kids from Obama that came in with masks, hoods. Wow. It's a beautiful day. And they were disruptive and they were stealing things. And the workers were impotent to do anything because of store policy that says you can't intervene. So they just come in and run roughshod over people, and there's no accountability. They know that the policeman doesn't. They have a policeman in the evening or a policewoman that comes in about 5 o'clock. But in between that time, they just cause all kind of havoc. And that's what you saw yesterday when they beat that man senselessly on the street and right by a park with children, right in front of a PNC bank. So there's cameras everywhere. They'll, if they have the gumption and stomach, they'll catch the hooligans. But what do we do then? Someone, you know, Mr. Kraus, you should be suing Sarah Inamorato and Bethany Hallam for slow walking the opening of Schumann because the juvenile delinquents know there's no accountability.
It's frightening, Anthony. And you've seen it all. As a former member of the Black Panthers, this has a whole nother level of impunity to these teams, doesn't it?
Yeah, because they have no respect. I mean, they look, you saw the incident that happened in a convenience store downtown in the cultural district where they beat a man senseless. And they jump you now. You know, they jump you. And it's scary. My sons say, you know, Dad, we know your history. But no one will bother me. I'm just going to leave it at that. But I don't want them to bother anyone. And they're doing it.
Hold on, Anthony. How the hell did this happen? This wave of, and this is happening all over. Chicago, L.A., New York, with teens taking over these downtown areas. Why is this happening now in this place and time in American history? Why?
They're being influenced by what they get on their phones. You have influencers who are telling them to do it. That's where the term teen takeover came from. You know, they do the same thing. They were doing it with the cars the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Where in the middle of the night, they're making donuts in the middle of, but they're being called to arms. And you need to go after those folks, too, who are pushing these children. But the parents play their larger part. How come you don't know where your 15-year-old is at 2 o'clock in the morning? When they're being stabbed in Market Square.
And before I lose you, because you do have so much wisdom on this, Kraus is suing Inamorato in the county, saying that these term limits are illegal for him, saying it was put in place prior to his election and the term limit was not contemplated by the candidate or the voters themselves. What say you, sir?
And he may have an uphill battle. Because that's how we got the change in county government, the referendum anyway. They were from the three county commissioners to the executive. They had the authority to do it through the Home Rule Charter. So of course they want to oust him. They want to oust everybody. You know, he's not a progressive and no, they don't agree with.
The ordinance limits the sheriff of Allegheny County to no more than three terms. The ordinance is void and unenforceable as a matter of law because it violates limitations placed upon the row office of the sheriff of Allegheny County by the Pennsylvania Constitution. Oh, there you go.
We'll see. I wish him luck. I want to, you know, honestly, I am for term limits, but I don't like the way they're doing this.
All right, before you go, round me out. If these teens come at you, sir, in that same store, what do you do?
Well, I'm licensed to carry, and I've been licensed to carry for close to 40 years.
Mm.
I'm going to take somebody out.
Mm.
I'm not going to allow you to harm me.
Mm.
And I'm not going to allow, if I'm in the vicinity, I'm not going to allow you to harm someone else.
Mm.
I'm just not going to. My conscience would not allow me to. And, Marty, they come in waves at you.
Yeah.
It's not one-on-one. It's five or six.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have money for an attorney if I have to, but I'm not going to allow you to beat me to death.
Mm.
It's not going to happen.
My brother, truth to power, thank you.
All right.
It's all very sad and scary.